Creek, and just because I live down the road and know so many people here, I probably know more people by name at Raccoon Creek than any church in Bartow County, so it's always fun to come. And there's not a Sunday that I come that I don't go get me some gardening advice from Mr. Carl back there in the back. But y'all laugh. That shows you I have intelligence. My daddy taught me to ask somebody smarter than you a question. I've worn out a number of people's phones in the room. But let me just brag on poor Bill Posey. My father-in-law lives with us and he's 89 and a half. And his favorite food is honey. And he used to have it in Texas growing up. And he left Texas when he was 17. And he moved in with us, and what he really wanted was bees. And so now we persecute poor Bill Posey. But we got our first honey this year. And I mean, Billy's already gone through 5 gallons of that stuff. But you got to understand, he doesn't know anything about bees, so he keeps calling for Mr. Bill. And I'm like, oh, man, we're going to annoy that guy to death. Guys, I'm going to do something different today, okay? All right, here's my notes, right? And, Mark, you said, you know, sometimes God starts putting something on your heart and you don't have it figured out or fleshed out, but you go try it out on somebody. Now, that's Raccoon Creek this morning, okay? Don't laugh. Jeff, the one thing about Raccoon Creek, there's consistency, right? I can always talk to Mr. Carl about gardening, and Jeff always says, he says the same thing every time I'm here. Jeff, what do you tell me?
Keep it short.
Keep it short. See what I mean? And the truth is, most dangerous thing in the world is a guy that doesn't have it all figured out yet and tries it out on you. But y'all, we live in the strangest time. Well, it's stranger. It's 2016, and it's stranger now than it's ever been. When I say ever been, I'm talking about in my lifetime. So I've been asking God, what time is it? Now, I know it's February 2016. Young people, I may look dumb, but I'm not quite as dumb as I look, okay? I understand it's a little after 11 o'clock, but spiritually, see, there's two different kinds of times in the Bible. One is a chronological time, but there's always a kairos. That's the Greek word. Like, it says at just the right time Christ died for us. Not a minute too soon, not a minute too late, just at the right time. Jesus actually said, when he looked at Jerusalem, he wept over him and said, you've missed the time of your visitation. So I'm always asking God, what time is it spiritually in Bartow County? I mean, if we just show up and just keep showing up and showing up, but you got to ask the right question. Because, see, there's seasons in everybody's life. I mean, we did 4 weddings at our house a couple of years ago. It's crazy. You're laughing, Terry, because Lord have mercy. But now we're having grandbabies. That's a fun time, isn't it? And all the grandparents said, amen. Amen. Yeah. But it's a different season. But you know, spiritually in America, we're seeing things happen that we've never seen before. So I'm asking God what time it is. So I want to do something really kind of wild, okay? I want to kind of give you a simple thing to help you interpret this moment in the life of not just Raccoon Creek, Bartow County, the United States, but of the world. Because if you don't have your mind set right, see, if you're not conscious about what's going on here, I think you'll miss it. So I want to ask what time it is, and then look at the Bible and let the Bible speak, and then say, what's our response? And then give you something just incredibly practical, okay? And by the time I preach this and y'all give me some feedback, I'll get it worked out that maybe the next church, it'll be a little tighter and a little bit more together. But I want you just to think how strange it is right now. Davis, you were in the school business. I remember, now teenagers watch this, you know what the number one thing was when I was in middle school? Of course, it wasn't middle school, it was junior high back then. The two biggest things, chewing gum and spitballs. Matter of fact, all the guys, my brother, when he went to school, he had a gun in the back because he went deer hunting before school. Of course, we're Central Standard Time in Alabama. And then he'd go deer hunting after. People had guns every place. Nobody ever shot anybody. I mean, I look around and think, all the stuff that's changing. But even here, I just live right down the road. Somebody broke into, they actually came and stole my neighbor's truck, drove it across the field, unloaded it, and drove it back and parked it in the yard. Down at the Dollar General, we had somebody get raped the other night. Y'all, it's crazy. I can remember having to lock my car for the first time thinking, whoever locked a car? Whoever locked their house? But I don't want you to be unsettled by it. Let me get you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to see if I can't interpret this moment, give you the proper response, and something for you to get excited about, okay? Every time it gets worse, there's an opportunity for it to get better. And that's the story of God. Every time it got worse, God was waiting. And when his people responded correctly, it always got better because he would intervene. And that's what I think God's wanting to do in our present time. The book of Hebrews starts off by saying, in times past, God spoke this way, but today he's speaking through his son, Jesus Christ. And it goes on and it tells the whole story really of the children of Israel. And it goes back and talks about when they came up out of Egypt and on Mount Sinai, what God did and how they refused God and they missed God. And now in our day and time, because of Jesus and the cross, we've got a new covenant. The old covenant's gone. The new covenant, he's speaking from Mount Zion. I mean, it's a whole new thing. But it comes to chapter 12 toward the end and he gives this warning. He says, listen, looking at the past, looking at the present, don't be like the past. Don't miss your moment. In other words, don't refuse him who speaks. And he actually, beginning in verse 25, it's kind of the summary statement. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Now listen to that. Raccoon Creek, see to it that you don't refuse the one who speaks. If they did not escape, now that's the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. If they didn't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much more? I mean, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Now, make sure you catch this, okay? They refused God coming up out of Egypt, but they didn't know what we know. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the cross. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, they had a pillar of fire and a cloud that would lead them. They had Moses, but they didn't have Jesus. We've got Jesus. So remember Hebrews earlier, he said, don't trample underfoot the Son of God. So what he's saying is, don't miss this moment. You shouldn't miss it because you have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. Now listen, to those that have Jesus, there's greater accountability. Now, that's a somber thing. Because, matter of fact, in the beginning of chapter 12, it talks about whom God loves, he disciplines. Now, that's not a popular subject. Young people, let me tell you, people don't like the idea that God disciplines those who he loves. And if your parents don't discipline you, you call me because I'll go get in their face and say, you don't love your child. That was weak, parents. Y'all missed an opportunity. I'm going to tell you what. One of the most beautiful things about having five 20-something-year-olds is they come back now and say, you know what, Daddy, you were right. I had a daughter tell me the other day, I was right by not letting her go to New York on some trip, and she was in New York, and it's like, whew. My kids have figured out that their parents love them because we discipline them. Not incorrectly and harshly. Well, they think I did. They think their mother did it right, but that's another story. But look at this, what the scripture said. Don't turn away from him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. At that time, on Mount Sinai, the very voice of God, the voice of Jesus Christ, shook Mount Sinai when they were coming up out of Egypt. And now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Once more, he says, I'm going to do this. The words once more indicate the removing of the things that can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, guys, let me see if I can just start interpreting this in the David Franklin, all right? I, with all of my heart, think that there's something strange right now going on. We've rocked along in America for years and years and years and years, have been the most blessed nation on the earth because we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But now, all of a sudden, in a moment of time, everything is changing. I'm talking about the moral code, everything in America, economics. I don't know how much y'all keep up, but have you seen since 1996, South Carolina has lost one-third of its manufacturing jobs because of the North American Fair Trade Agreement? Don't think America's not changing. In a moment in time, we have seen things that we would have never dreamed of 10 years ago, from Supreme Court rulings to elected officials ignoring laws. Have y'all noticed? See, you can't have a society that's not founded upon law that has structure to it. But now, if you know the right people, you just seem to can get away with anything. It seems that if you're a Christian, you are the absolute offense of America right now. But I want to propose to you something. I want to propose that maybe, just maybe, God's doing some shaking in America. But not just America, the world. Who'd have ever thought the French want their guns back? Europe, that takes great pride in their arrogance and saying, look at us, we're the most peaceful people. Now, they've got rape going on from refugees, and they want their guns back. Guys, it's not just America. It's not all the statistics. The church, the statistics are anywhere from 70-90% of all churches are plateaued or declining in the United States. It's the church. Davis, the educational system is radically different now. It's being shaken, isn't it? But it's government. It's every influence of America's society, but it's worldwide. Nobody knows what's going on. But I want to propose to you something. I want to propose God might just be shaking everything. This word right here, shaken, listen, it's found throughout the Bible in some really cool places. Remember when Paul and Silas were in jail? And they were singing. They had these chains on them. And the Bible in Acts 17 said that all of a sudden the earth shook. And the very foundation, the bars, the doors, the chains, everything that had been that they trusted in, humanly speaking, all of a sudden the doors flung open and Paul and Silas got up and walked out. Acts chapter 4, they were in a prayer meeting. And all of a sudden the very room they were in was shaken. See, Jesus talked about it. He talked about being pressed down and shaken together. He talked about the coming of Jesus and how when the earth is being shaken. Guys, I want to tell you something. There is a shaking going on right now, and here's what's happening. The things that cannot be shaken won't be, but the things that can will be. But let me translate that, okay? You know the following story. There was a man who built his house upon a rock. And the winds came and the storms came. And here's what it says. It blew against that house, but it could not be shaken. Same word. It could not be shaken because it had been founded upon the rock. But the other guy built his house upon what? The sand. And when the storms came, that house went what? Splat. Now listen, let me tell you what God's doing right now. God's about the business of shaking every single thing that we know as life. And he's going to shake out the things that don't matter. The things that will remain, those things matter. But the things that don't remain, I mean, the things that can be shaken. Now, some of y'all have some nice, hefty retirement accounts. Don't worry, the government's going to come get those. They're not going to remain. Listen, that's what everybody's talking about. You know what? Oh, some of y'all that are thinking Social Security is going to be there when we get to be Davis's age? No, forget it. Guys, listen to me. Now, you stop and think about this. Jesus taught very specifically that the things of this world that so many people put their hope and joy and peace in, it just doesn't matter. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Don't store up for yourself treasures in earthen vessels, but store up for yourself treasures. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to be about the business of messing up life in America to make sure that none of us put our confidence in the things that cannot be that can be shaken. And we are going to have to learn to find joy in the things that can't be shaken. So just real quick, what can't be shaken? See, that's the question this morning. Brand new truck? Nah, it'll burn up. Good job? Nah, that can be gone. What can't be shaken? I'll tell you. Jesus Christ. And guys, I'm here to say something as plain as I know how to say it. If you don't find your love and your joy and your peace and your contentment in Jesus Christ, the days ahead are going to be frustrating for you. Matter of fact, we in America have had it all mixed together because we've been so blessed. What Jesus is about is sifting and shaking so that we end up being a people that put all of our joy has to come from Jesus. All of our hope is going to have to come from Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, wait. No, I'm telling you. In America, because we are so blessed, things have come from the blesser that we have found a lot of fun in, but we hadn't gotten serious about saying Jesus and Jesus only. I'll never forget meeting a man by the name of Ronaldo Medina. Young people, this guy was thrown in jail by Castro way back in the 60s. Spent 13 years in prison. Missed his kids growing up. He was in Cuba when I met him because he had led so many people to prison in Christ. Castro kicked him out of jail and sent him to the United States. I've never met a man that had more peace and more joy in Jesus only. Because everything had been taken away from him, except for there was one thing they couldn't take away, and that was something that couldn't be shaken. That was his relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let me just make sure that you catch this, okay? This passage right here, they actually quoted from this can't be shaken stuff. It comes from Haggai. And listen to what Haggai said in chapter 2, verse 6. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations. Isn't that an interesting thing? He will once more shake the nation. You tell me a nation that's not being shaken. The Middle East is in turmoil. Europe's messed up. China can't figure it out. Oh, well, what about South America? Oh, they got this mosquito down there that's biting people. Guys, you go pick someplace in the world and it's crazy. He says, once more I'll shake the nations, all the nations, and they will come and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. He said, I'll fill this house with glory. Now, he was talking about the old temple. But you fast forward to this new covenant, because he goes on to say about this new covenant. If God wanted to fill the new covenant house with glory, what would he do? I know some of you are thinking, oh, he'd fill Raccoon Creek with his presence. Yes, but you know where the temple of God is today? It's you. It's me. And what he wants to do is he wants to fill every one of us with himself, because that's all that matters. So that the only place that you have to go for joy and peace, See, this is the divine plan. Get this. When Jesus died on the cross, as soon as he died, something was torn from top to bottom. What was it? It was the veil. The reason is the new covenant made it possible for us to go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. Before, they never got to. I'm so thankful I live now and not before Jesus came. Because you know what? I get to go into the very presence. Really what it's talking about is a love relationship. What God wants with every single person in this room is very simply a love relationship that's personal, dynamic, to where you love Him more than anything else. That doesn't mean you don't love your family. Matter of fact, if you love God, you'll love your family better. But if you love God, you'll love the things of this world appropriately and not hold on to them. You'll just love them so you can give them away. But let me tell you what my greatest fear is in Bartow County, across the United States. Most of you who grew up in church and got saved, you were taught how to be a good church member and not discipled, how to have a dynamic love relationship with God. Matter of fact, I think that's one of the reasons God is in the process of shaking the American church, because we taught people not how to love Him and walk with Him, but how to be a really, really good church member. And you know what? Jesus didn't die so that you would know how to be a good church member. He died so that you could walk with God. He died so that you, as the temple of God, would be filled with His presence and His Spirit. So one is, what can't be shaken? And if you want to be prepared for the days ahead, you make sure you go love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And if you've got that down, no matter what comes, I don't care whether you get cancer. I don't care whether this mountain falls into the sea. It won't matter. You'll be good. Because no matter what, you're going to get up every morning and the joy of the Lord will be yours. And you can walk through any difficulty because Jesus lives inside of you. And if you got Him, you got it. His grace is sufficient. Even if you're persecuted. We sang about it earlier. He who overcame, He'll help you overcome. So you got to make sure your relationship with God is absolutely growing and vibrant and good. Now, does that mean that you're going to escape everything in the days ahead? The answer is no. Matter of fact, listen, let me tell you something. Some of you, God has chosen to suffer for His glory. Now, that's not popular theology in America, but you read your scripture and that's exactly what it says. Some of you suffer because you're being disciplined because you're not where God wants you to be. And if you'd go get right with God, life would be easier. But I'm telling you, sometimes suffering is for the glory of God. But let me take another one. Okay, Jesus, He can't be shaken. You know something else? You know it. Matter of fact, the last time I was here, I preached about it. So I'm going to see if I can remind you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my blank. My what? My word. The word of God cannot be shaken. So folks, I'm going to challenge you to do something. Get serious about getting in God's word, because the more you get into God's word, the more your mind is not shaped and formed by... You know what's crazy, girls? Now here's what's crazy. You know the number one place people get their theology? Off of television. That means that every one of you is supposed to be 5'11 and weighs 114 and one-third of a pound and have long hair and can walk on those 8-inch heels across a runway. Wrong. That's a lie. But if you don't read the scripture, you'll buy into what Hollywood says. It's natural, because whatever you start seeing, you see these commercials. Guys, who would have ever thought we would see somebody at a Super Bowl halftime party trash cops? It's crazy. Everything that is being shaken, except for the Word of God, can't be shaken. So let me do something, and every parent ought to write this down and put this and remind your children of this, okay? With the Word of God, how do you make sure that, number one, you need to hear it, okay? That's why coming to church on a regular basis, going to Sunday school, that's why constantly putting yourself in a position to hear God's word is absolutely essential. So just think of your hand. Hear it. So I'm going to challenge you to grab a hold of God's word. And if you can hear, if you hear it on a regular basis, do I have a hold of it yet? Well, that's talent right there, y'all. I'm impressed with myself on that. But it wouldn't take much of a strong wind to mess me up, would it? You got to hear it. Second thing is, if you want to grab a hold of it, you got to read it and study it. Because when you read and study it, all of a sudden, you start internalizing and it starts making a lot more, I mean, it just starts making better sense. That's a whole lot easier than one finger. One of you guys think you could take that away from me now? Wouldn't be very hard, would it? I'm not near as fast as I used to be. But see, you can have the Word of God. I mean, you really hadn't grabbed a hold of it until you start memorizing it. And now all of a sudden, I can kind of move this around a little bit better, can't I? And if you're not memorizing God's Word, guys, I'm telling you, memorize God's Word. If you'll memorize God's Word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to walk through the days ahead as God continues to shake the earth, if you don't do it with God's word, I promise you, you will stump your toe, you'll fall, you'll skin your knee, you'll go down the wrong path. What you ought to do, some of you who are younger, you ought to ask some of the older folks that have walked with God for a long time. They'll tell you the way they made it, 70, 80 years, is God's word has guided them. But just because you've done, memorized it, you've read it and studied it, you're hearing it, I'm going to tell you there's another one that really, really makes, and that's to meditate on it. Now I'm telling you, that's a lost art. But I'll give you an example. The first thing I do every morning when I wake up, before I roll out of bed, I get my little phone, it's got the Bible app on it, it's got a verse for today. That's the first thing I read, right? This morning, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Yesterday, blessed is he who keeps the commandments of the Lord. Psalm 119, 2. Blessed is he who does two things, keeps the commandments of the Lord, and the second thing is he seeks God with all of his heart. So today, I'm just going to be meditating on be angry and sin not, or some other passage that I read. I meditate on it. I think about it during the day. If you don't think about, listen, I know that these Bible reading plans are great. Read five chapters. It's important to read through the scripture. But I'm going to tell you, we've left out meditation. Because when you meditate on it, you ponder it, then you start, it's like a seed that's planted in good soil that takes root and it grows down deep and it'll stay with you as you have memorized it and you meditate on it. And just meditate on it. The more you meditate on it, the more you begin to be aligned with what the Word says. And your heart and mind begins to think that way, and you begin to do those kind of things, and you begin to respond that way. But watch this. Okay, guys. Can you grab that out of my hand? It's pretty easy, right? One more thing that you've got to grab a hold of God's Word, because this can't be shaken, is you got to pray it. Now, the last time I was here, I preached on that. So I'm not going to go back and preach on it again. Jeff, I can't get an amen for that. I mean, I'm trying to be short. I'm trying, okay? Mary Beth, you're going to have to elbow him every now and then and keep him awake, okay? Guys, I'm going to tell you what, the last part, and as I said this last time, if they were to ask me, what didn't they teach me at seminary? That they should be teaching every single person, and that's how to pray God's word. If you'll take God's word and meditate, hear it, read it, study it, if you'll memorize it and then meditate on that and then start praying it. Let me tell you one that, here's one that I started doing a long time ago. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, if you were to go ask my wife, and I know I'm not much, okay? But she'll tell you the best prayer that God's ever answered in her life was her husband's prayer that I would love her like Christ loved the church. And I prayed that, and I meditate on it, and I think about it. And see, now watch this. When you got that, it's a lot harder to grab that. No, sorry, sucker. No, you may be sitting next to somebody pretty, but you can't mess with me because you know what? God's word, I'm telling you, it is. Jesus Christ and the word of God. Guys, I'm telling you, the love of money, all this kind of stuff, who cares? It's all going to burn up. It really is. Matter of fact, that's what Jesus said. There's a day coming when he comes back, the whole earth is going to be shaken, and it's over, baby. The whole thing's going to be messed up. So how then shall we live today? We've got to live working on our relationship with God and working with God's word. Those two things will not be shaken. But what's it in preparation for? I'll tell you, it says in Zechariah, God wants to shake the nations for his glory. Now, what does that mean? He wants to shake the nations for his glory. Here's what I think is happening right now. God is messing everything up and messing everybody up. I remember being a teenager, and the big thing was, there was a little pot, but it was primarily alcohol. You know, I've met a bunch of alcoholics, and you know what they find at the bottom of the bottle? They don't find any joy, do they? All right, young people, I'm going to go old school on you. You don't even know this person, okay? Deion Sanders? Neon Deion. He was like this superstar football player. He ran a 4.1 at the NFL Combine. Played baseball. He wore all this stuff. I mean, he was filthy rich. He bought a Lamborghini, signed a check, wrote a check for $150,000 and drove out. And he said 15 minutes after driving that Lamborghini, it didn't do anything for him. He ended up driving that Lamborghini off a cliff trying to commit suicide. All the money in the world, same thing as at the bottom of a bottle. There's no joy there. Deion actually met Jesus, and he actually wrote a book. He said, how success and all this kind of stuff almost cost me everything. But he says once he found Jesus, it changed everything. Drugs, sex, all that kind of, you go pick any fruit sin you see in America. I don't care what it is. Adultery. I'm going to tell you what. Guys, go run off on your wife. It may be exciting right at first, but there's no joy in that. In the end, it's like an alcoholic at the end of the bottle. There's nothing except for emptiness. God's about the business of shaking the world because here's what's getting ready to happen, Raccoon Creek. The more people get to indulge in self-centeredness, the less happy they're going to be. And they're going to start looking to somebody to find joy and peace and contentment. And they're going to come ask us. Wait. They're going to come ask people who have the joy of the Lord. Matter of fact, if you don't have it, you're actually going to hurt it. But they're going to come find somebody that knows how to smile in the midst of suffering. Listen, guys, I mean... I've visited a lot of hospitals, but I mean, some of y'all know our first child was born with heart defects and had emergency open heart surgery. It was easy to spot the Christians in the waiting room. I mean, it was easy. People are they're finding out more and more that life doesn't work apart from Christ. They're going to start asking Christians, what they ought to ask us is this. Why are you so happy all the time? Why is it that you've got a smile on your face? See, we got to get ready because there's a great harvest coming. Our moment is coming. We got to pray for it. We got to go out and talk to people about Jesus. But there's a moment, the more you let the economy implode, and there's going to be people begging to know, why do you have hope? Zechariah 9 is one of my favorite chapters. It says, because of the new covenant, Zechariah said he'll take you from being a prisoner of a waterless pit and make you a prisoner of hope. Now you stop and think about that. You know what? Let the earth melt away. I'm good. Because you know what? My joy doesn't come from the things of this life. It comes from the person of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is what helps me, that relationship. So we've got a moment in time, the whole earth. Do you know right now, the coolest testimony I hear, we just had a missionary come through here, and we can't talk about her name because she's undercover. She goes to the crisis places in the Muslim world. And she had just come back from the refugee camps, and she got to go from tent to tent. There would be anywhere from 10 to 20 Muslim women there talking. And here's what they said. If this is what Islam is about, we don't want anything to do with it. She prayed for him in Jesus' name, and they were like, why is it that you have a smile on your face? I'm telling you, the world's going to be asking us, are we going to be ready? Matter of fact, I think the day's coming to where what God wants to do is to fill every single house of worship like this, multiple times on Sunday, because there's going to be so much stress in the world that there won't be any joy except for among God's people. Now, my question is to you today is very simply this. Do you have that joy this morning? See, there's a shaking. Matter of fact, if you go read that, this is the scary part. The last part of Hebrews 12, it says, our God is a consuming fire. Now, what that means is he's going to burn up everything that's not him. So just get ready. It may be happening to some of you now. God may be messing with some of y'all now because you've put your faith and hope in other stuff. Your joy had better be in Jesus and Jesus only. Otherwise, God's going to make sure it's shaken and it starts melting away. But see, I'm not trying to warn you so you can go help yourself. No, the real thing is this. We're going to have the opportunity to win more people to Christ than we've ever dreamed of in the days ahead. Because here's what I know. The worse it gets, the better the opportunities are. We've got to get ready to say, you know what? But we're not going to be ready unless we know Jesus and are walking with him every day. So I want to ask you to bow right now. I want to ask you to do something just... I want to ask you just to pray a crazy prayer. Would you be bold enough to pray this? Lord, may the things that can be shaken in my life, would you shake them out? Now listen, that's a scary prayer. Would you shake them? Shake me, God. But may the things that cannot be shaken, Jesus and his word, may those things remain. Not for my personal edification, but for the glory of God. Would you pray, how then shall I live, God? May I live with Jesus. But I'm going to ask you to go further. Would you pray simply this? God, whatever can be shaken at Raccoon Creek, shake it out. And may what remains be Jesus and his word. See, guys, there's this shaking in all the churches across America. And it's to shake away sometimes some programs, some traditions, all kinds of things that aren't Jesus. Would you pray for your church right now that everything but Jesus be shaken out? But then don't just stop there. Pray, God, so that the people that drive up and down 113, all the people in this community, all the people around, they'll be able to find Jesus with the people who are marked by his name. I'm going to ask you to pray, God, would you shake America? And if it takes bringing her to her knees so that millions get right with you, do it, God. And God, you said you'd shake the nations, shake all the nations. We see it now. May every single nation, whatever they put their faith in, their trust in, some of them it's religion, like the Muslims, shake it, God, to where their whole religious system collapses because there's no joy. Every nation that set itself up in a high place, some of these nations in Europe that think that they know what's best, shake it, God. Shake every government to only Jesus, and His word can't be shaken. Father, thank you for allowing us to come. Lord, I pray, and I know that this word wasn't near as tight or concise as it ought to be, but I pray that you cause there to be a hunger and passion in the people of Raccoon Creek for you and your word more than anything else. Lord, may we be the people who grab a hold of Jesus above all else. And we pray this in Christ's name. Guys, this altar is open if you want to continue to pray.